All righty. How do you know Santa is in the room? You can see his presence. Yeah. What's the best present to get? A broken drum. You just can't beat it. What is Christmas? We see a lot of signs on people's doors and whatnot and that. And Christmas is time for sharing. Christmas is time for caring. Christmas is time for giving. But this morning we're going to look and see that Christmas is also, and this may be blasphemous to some, Christmas is also a time for receiving. Who likes to get presents? I like to get press stuff. Yeah. So it's Christmas is also time for receiving. If you would, please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Elizabeth, do you like to get presents? Do you like to give presents? Good for you. We're on the same page. Luke chapter 2, we'll see in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation here is the Messiah, or the Anointed One. Going back to the Old Testament, when someone was anointed, such as David the king, they took oil and poured it over them. That was the anointment. They're waiting for the Christ, the Anointed One. That's the consolation of Israel. We also see in verse 25, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. The Holy Ghost was upon Simeon, verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. So what Simeon has to say here is divinely inspired by God. We see in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit, that Simeon, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. The reason they were there, Mary and Joseph, the parents, was because they had to come to the temple and give 5 shekels for Jesus Christ. In the book of Numbers, chapter 18, verse 15 and 16, it says that the firstborn there had to be redeemed or rescued from loss. That was in the law. We learned this morning in Sunday school that the law and the prophets were until John, so they were merely fulfilling and obeying the law of God by presenting Jesus at the temple and giving 5 shekels for redemption for their son. Shekel is about a 1/2 ounce of silver. I did all kinds of research. Shekel is anywhere from 1/3 ounce to 8/10 ounce, so we'll just round her off to about 1/2 ounce silver. And so when they paid that money, it brought their son, just like any firstborn son of Israel, into the covenant or agreement or contract with God as being one of God's people. So we'll read. Now we put some of the things in context. If you would please, let's read Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms. Simeon takes the Lord Jesus, baby, up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and a glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for a fall and a rising again, of which many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers day and night. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this morning. Help us, Lord, appreciate and be grateful for what we have received. We thank you, Lord, for giving us things beyond measure, never dreamed of when I was a kid. Then I get saved. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for giving me eternal life and the peace that passes all understanding. We ask that you open our hearts to the message this morning. I pray that we do learn to be more grateful and that we show our gratefulness, Lord, by having a burden for others and a concern for others. And they're not knowing you as Savior, Lord, that we might have a good testimony and be kind to people and give people grace like you've shown us, Lord. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Big two-point outline this morning. Just 2 points. Christmas time is a time for blank. Christmas time is a time for 2 points. Christmas time is a time about giving. In verse 30 of Luke chapter 2, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Salvation has to do with the word saved or delivered from the wrath of God. And it's given universally. Look, 31, verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever is universal, it's everyone, it's all. Romans chapter 10, 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All, call. It's universal, saved, salvation. Simeon saw the salvation of the Lord. We see here God giving. Christmas time is about giving, and God giving salvation to all. It's also in verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Light here means to make manifest, to make evident. God give a light to the Gentiles. God revealed himself to the Gentiles. John chapter 1, let's turn back to, or turn over to John chapter 1. Verse 6, and there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of the light. All men. Here we go again. All is universal. Everybody. That all men through him might believe. Why is there a word? We just said God is salvation is for all. And now we see might. Because might is predicated on faith. Jesus Christ died for the world. God sent his light for all the world. But might, we have to put our faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. How that he died for our sins. And we trust him and him only. Might has to do with faith. Verse 8 of John chapter 1, he was not that light, John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Christmas time is about giving, God giving salvation to all. He gave a light to the Gentiles. Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. He also gave, verse 32 of Luke chapter 2, glory to Israel. glory here is very apparent. Has maybe something to do with make manifest or make evident. But give glory to Israel. For unto us a child is born. Israel was looking for the Messiah. Simeon was looking for the Messiah. It was revealed by God in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us, Israel, a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful. How many here can say, yes, Jesus Christ is wonderful? Amen. How many of us here can say, Jesus is my counselor? Praise God. How many can say, Jesus is our mighty God? He's the creator of heaven and earth. We can all raise our hands with Israel. The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And that's why God can give eternal life, because He is the everlasting Father. He's the only one that has everlasting life. He's the only one that can give everlasting life. But guess what? God can never take away everlasting life. That's one of the things God can't do. Why? Because God is a God that cannot lie. And He promises eternal life. How long is eternal? Forever. How long is everlasting? Forever. It's forever. And God can never, ever take that away from us, because He promises. He is our everlasting Father. He is our mighty God. That's promised in the Old Testament. Hello, and the Lord, it says in the Old Testament, shall give a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, Emmanuel, God with us. God did give glory to Israel, as Simeon said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We see in earlier in Luke chapter 2, we see somebody else giving at Christmas time. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. We see shepherds giving glory to God for all the things that they had seen and heard. What did they see and hear? Well, in verse 11, the angel comes to the shepherd and says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. The Old Testament word for Savior is Yeshua or Joshua or Jesus. Jesus is our Savior, which is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. There are many Jesuses or Jesuses, but there's one Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the Savior of the world. Verse 12, and He shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped, in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And we see the shepherds giving glory or honor, magnifying, giving God the preeminence at Christmas time. They weren't giving God preeminence like this when the shepherds or the angels talking to them. Oh, yeah? Huh? What? No. They were glued to the angels. They magnified God. They praised God because of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, the shepherds we see at Christmas time give praise for all they had heard and seen. Once again, they were praising God because they're going to see their Savior, the Savior of the world, the Creator of the world, Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2, verse 37, we see Anna giving thanks. And she was a widow, verse 37, and was about 84 years. That's 84 years. She had a husband for 7 years from her virginity. Say 12 years old was the marrying age in Israel. So she could have been 103 years old. Her name was Anna. I had an Aunt Annie. Guess how old she was when she died? Huh? 103. My Aunt Annie was in Anaconda. And she was saved. There were some people trying to get a hold of her, telling her about it. What you kids already know, what we already know. How long is eternal? Forever. And there were some people coming and saying, well, it's not really forever. It's not really eternal. You got to do this. You got to do that. And my Aunt Annie was confused. She was about 98 at this time. And she says, they had just left when I got there. And she said, I don't, I'm confused. And I showed her in the Bible and showed her everlasting and eternal and forever. Just those simple words. She says, I got it now. And she started crying. She said, God does love me. Yes, Annie, God loves you. My little Aunt Annie, my grandma said she got around like a chicken. And she'd buzz around like that. So here's a funny story. It has nothing to do with the message, but who wants to hear sort of a funny story? Anybody? Okay. So my grandma grew up with nothing. She was poor as a church mouse. My Aunt Annie had no kids. They lived two blocks from each other in Anaconda. But Aunt Annie's husband worked up at the smelter there, and she was a miser. And she had a little bit of dough. And my grandma found out that my grandma was in Annie's will. And so then my grandma had moved. She got a little sick, and so she moved over to Helena to be with my aunt and uncle and lived up at Sunhaven there for a while. And I'd take grandma over to visit Annie here and there. And my grandma's cute. She was about this high. Aunt Annie was this high. So we had gotten word, and when Aunt Annie's friends called and said that she was feeling ill, and grandma called, she says, we need to see Annie. I said, okay. So we buzz over to Anaconda. My grandma was sort of crippled up, and she says, I'll wait in the car while you go and see how Annie's doing. So I went inside, and Annie's at the table. Annie, how's it going? Oh, I feel, she looked great. So I came back out. I says, go open the door. I says, grandma, come on in. Annie's doing well. Come on in. And my grandma says, how is she? I said, grandma, she looks great. And my grandma goes, oh, that's nice. So we're all people. Isn't that something? So my Aunt Annie was saved, praise God, and then my grandma got saved. That's what's important. But Anna here, Anna here could have been 103. And she gave thanks. Not only did she give thanks, verse 38, she coming in the instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption. 103 years old. Let's say she's at least 103 years old. She was not too old to tell others of the gospel of Jesus Christ. She was not too old to tell others of the only hope that we have as a people. The Bible says that we're is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. We have no hope in medicine. It'll keep us comfortable and keep us here a little longer and prolong our death a little longer. But our ultimate hope lies in Jesus Christ. Our ultimate hope lies in eternal life because of Jesus Christ. Our ultimate hope lies in Jesus Christ. And Anna was not too old to tell others about Jesus Christ. We can glean from that. I'm 49 years old, and I keep looking, well, I got till 70. Well, that's about 21 years I can tell others. But you know what? I might live to be 103. Won't Lori be lucky? And we can still tell others about Jesus Christ. Boy, that's awesome. And as Anna spoke of him, Jesus Christ, to all that looked for redemption, we see Peter in Acts chapter 2. If you would turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We see Peter preaching at the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. We've gone over the first point. Christmas is about giving. God give glory to Israel. He give light to the Gentiles. He gives salvation to all. Anna giving thanks. Shepherds giving praise and glory. Now in Acts chapter 2, 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Christmas time is about giving, and it's about receiving. See the word received in verse 41. You can underline that and go to verse 44 and underline the word believed. Receiving is believing. Receiving means to welcome or accept. Receiving is believing. And what did they receive? Acts chapter 2, verse 39, for the promises unto you and your children to all that are far off, as many as... Oh, time out. Verse 29 through 31 is what I got wrote down. This is Peter starting to preach. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David that is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him, that's David, that all the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And our Lord Jesus Christ came from the genealogy of David. Verse 31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. That Jesus, this Jesus, hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. That's what they accepted. That's what they received. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what they received. Christmas is also about receiving, believing and trusting Christ as Savior. If you would please turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, what else can we or have we already received? Real quick, if you're here this morning and you have trusted, you have received the Word of God, then you have received the atonement, what we're going to talk about. If you're here this morning and there's any doubt, you have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. You've never looked to Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Then Christmas time is still about receiving. You can receive Christ this morning. It's not about saying a prayer. It's not about going through the motions. It's a heart matter when we realize that we're truly sinners and we're in desperately need of a Savior because we cannot save ourselves. Romans chapter 5, verse 11. What have we received? And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. What is atonement? If you take your pencil, you can divide atonement into three parts. At one ment. Man at one ment with God. We're separated by sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we are separated by sin before we trust Christ as Savior, before we receive Him as Savior. In the book of Habakkuk, well, Genesis chapter 3, to deal with our sin, when Adam and Eve sinned, when they disobeyed God, God took innocent animals and blood was shed, and He covered them. He covered their nakedness. It's a picture of covering their sin with the innocent. But blood had to be shed. Innocent blood had to be shed. And all through the Old Testament, with the Levitical laws and the different sacrifices, innocent blood was shed for the sin and trespasses of men. It's a picture of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of Calvary, of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And when Jesus Christ was on the cross, His blood had to be shed. Even at the day of Passover, God says, "And then when I see the blood, I will pass over you." It has to do with the blood. And Jesus shed His blood for us. And Jesus was innocent. He is tempted in all ways like us, yet He sinned not. And now we have received the atonement. God and man at one. In the Levitical law, every year the priest, the high priest, would take a goat and slay the goat and take the blood. The innocent goat, and take Yom Kippur, Kippur, however you say it, pronunciations on the calendar. Yom Kippur is the annual day of atonement. And the high priest would take that blood once a year. He would go through the veil into what was called the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat was. And he would apply the blood to the mercy seat for the sins of the nation of Israel. The annual day of atonement. Innocent blood shed for the sins of many. A picture of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, "But now once Jesus Christ, once He hath appeared to put away the sin by the sacrifice of Himself." So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. But this man, Jesus Christ, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of the Father. There's only one sacrifice for sin, and Jesus Christ was a sacrifice. There's only one sacrifice for sin, and we cannot pay for our sins. We're unable. That's why Christ died for our sins. Christmas time is about receiving the atonement. In the book of Habakkuk, it says, "God is of pure eyes to even look at sin." That answers the question why Jesus was on the cross. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because God looked away, because our sins were placed on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. And we see Jesus suspended on a cross between heaven and earth, forsaken by God, rejected by men. Christ paid the penalty of sin in full. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ is the hope. Jesus Christ is the one sacrifice that can take away sins. There is no more sacrifice for sin, and we have now received the atonement. Look at verse 11 again, Romans chapter 5, verse 11. Oh boy, this is a biggie. "And not only so," and not only so. So we have received the atonement, but not only so. Well, everything before verse 11 we've received also. Christmas time is about receiving the atonement. And verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Christmas time is about receiving justification. Take your pencil once again, and we've done it before, and divide justified in three places. It's just if I'd never sinned. In a theological sense, God stands up and He declares that we're free from sin and guilt. It's God's declaration. Now, He knows that we're sinners. We can stand here and can tell God, we're sinners. I can look at this morning. I'm a sinner. But it's God's declaration that we're free from sin and guilt. We're declared without sin. We've received the justification. Christmas time is about receiving justification. And how did we receive this justified never sin, this justification? By faith. Remember, receiving is believing. Believing is faith. Believing is trust. We can receive the justification by faith. Believing. See how much God loves us? He doesn't ask us to go through a bunch of ceremonial things or live a life that we could never even attempt to live. He loves us so much, He made it simple. He wants us like little kids to have faith. When you tell a kid you're going to buy him ice cream cone, guess what the kid thinks? Going to buy me an ice cream cone. There's no doubt about it. And when God says, if you trust me by faith, I'll justify you, I'll declare you free from sin, it's simple faith. We also have verse 1 of chapter 5 of Romans. We have peace. Sinners are often represented in the Bible as an enemy of God. And a sinner's mind is so far from peace. Especially at the hospital, we see people not doing so well. Oh, most miserable. Agitated. Trembling. Without rest. Fearful. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We're set at one with God. We now have a quietness and rest. Christmas time is about receiving the peace of God that passes all understanding. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. We receive the grace of God. Unmerited favor. We do not deserve a thing from God. But He chooses to put us in His favor because He loves us. We receive the grace of God. And salvation is a gift. Just at Christmas time, it's a gift. In Romans chapter 5, it's a free gift, not just a gift, it's a free gift. God wants us to know it doesn't cost us anything. It cost Him His life. It cost Him a terrible hours on the cross. But it costs us nothing. It's a free gift. By faith, believing is receiving. Verse 2. Into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's what the world is looking for, is hope. It's asked many times, well, how come there are so many different religions? Because people are looking for hope. Why are there so many different isms? Because people are looking for hope. Why are there so many philosophies? Because people are looking for hope. People are looking for the same thing we're looking for, and that's hope. Hope means to anticipate with pleasure. Hope. Christ is our only hope. And we can anticipate with pleasure how the Lord will bless us now, how He'll bless us later in our lives, how the Lord will change our lives and those lives around us. We can make a difference. We know it's Jesus Christ that makes the change. But He needs a foot in the door, and that's us. We can make a change in people's lives. Then when we're in high school, how can I make a change in this world? How can I? What is my purpose in life? We can change. We can help change people. God's given us that duty. And as hard as it is, it's very simple also. It boils down to being kind to those around us. How many here can say, you know what, there are some people in my life and it's awful hard to be kind to? Yeah, it is. But the people that least deserve it need it the most. We can make a difference. What else is Christmas about receiving? Oh, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. It's about receiving the love of God. You can take a little pencil if you want to and draw a line to verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that love can be shed abroad in our hearts. Verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood. What does justified mean? Matthew. Perfect. Justified, never sinned. We're justified by faith. We're justified by his blood. We're justified. And look at this. This explains what saved means. We shall be saved. The one word definition for saved is delivered. We'd be delivered from wrath through him. The Bible declares that the soul that sinneth must die. And the wrath of God, when a sinner dies without trusting Christ as Savior, the sinner goes to hell. The soul goes to hell. And there is a resurrection. How many people will be resurrected? Everybody. Whether we know Christ or not, everybody will be resurrected. The Bible calls the first resurrection the resurrection of the just. Justified, never sinned. But there's a second resurrection, the resurrection of the unjust. And in hell, those souls that are held there will be reunited with their bodies in the second resurrection. And then they will be judged at the great white throne judgment and be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Where there's smoke and torment, the Bible says, ascendeth up forever and ever. Where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth forever and ever. But praise God, we can be received. We can receive. Most of us have already received salvation. We're saved or delivered from the wrath of God. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled. Reconciled is to settle a quarrel. What is that quarrel with God? The Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 7, verse 11, God is angry with the wicked every day. This is the question. What am I going to do with my sin? The Bible tells us we're sinners. We look at our lives, we tell ourselves we're sinners. What am I going to do with my sin? How am I going to settle that quarrel with God? Are we going to work? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of works. So we can't work for it. It's putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Believing is receiving. He washes us. He removes our sin. The Bible says he even forgets our sin. And he clothes us in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God. We've said many times the difference between joy and fun. Fun is about this deep. Joy is this deep. We can have fun, but it doesn't last very long. There are different things that give us joy as opposed to fun. And the ultimate joy is knowing Christ as Savior. The ultimate joy is serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The ultimate joy is seeing someone else receive Christ as Savior, knowing that a miracle took place. We can see miracles because of Jesus Christ, and there's joy in that. If you would, please turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. We've received all those nice things, wonderful things from God. Now we see in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. We see verse 5, your faith in Christ. These are believers. Believers are receivers. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We also receive some responsibility here. Received is to welcome or accept. We're supposed to welcome or accept these things that we've been taught. To walk, verse 6, if you therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. It's our life. The Bible says to be carnally minded with our flesh is death. We can separate ourselves from God. Not our relationship, but we can put God so far from us and our life can be miserable because we've not obeyed what we've been taught. But to live after the Spirit is life and peace. It's not only to live after God, but to follow Him where He leads. Obey the doctrine. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's hard, though. It is hard. It shouldn't be, but it is. But we're striving. We're striving to be better and better and better godly people, more pleasing to the Lord every day. Verse 7, rooted. Rooted, in the Greek, it means to become stable. And like a tree gets rooted. A tree will bend but not break. And if we're truly rooted, we might bend with the wiles, the wind of doctrine, every wind of doctrine, but we won't break. We should perform what we've been taught in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not ashamed, rightly dividing or discerning the truth. We have a responsibility. We've received all these great things, and we praise God for it. But when it comes to responsibility, sometimes we don't praise Him like we should or could. Built up, verse 7. Built up is to edify. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Edifying. Edify is to build up. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serve Christ. Let us therefore edify one another. Not only should we be built up, but we as a body should build others up. We should edify one another. Case in point. Even at work, there's a body of people at work. We can make or break our coworkers. I'm sitting there Friday, and it's just people. It's all. It's not right or wrong, but it's just people. And the one gal is complaining, can't believe that the UPS can't get packages sooner. My brother didn't get his package till Christmas Eve, and she was angry. And the other one says, yeah, and I don't think it's fair about UPS. They make those guys work long hours. Sometimes they go back in till 8 or 9. And what gives? Can't we? And it kept going and going. And I said, man, let's talk about something positive. But it's so easy to throw in. We're people too. We can throw right in and get in the mix, and it just builds, builds, builds. And pretty soon everybody's mad at the UPS guys. Whether they the employers or employees, just because we didn't send our gift soon enough. It's our own fault. But we can be positive. Once again, we can make a difference. We can edify one another, especially in church. Build one another up. There are a lot of things we can pick at each other. I know none of us in here would ever do that. But we should build up one another. Maybe take our mom's best advice to heart. If we don't have anything nice to say about somebody, don't say it at all. It's hard though, isn't it? Why is that? Because we're sinners. And yet God still loves us. God is awesome. Wow. Established, built up, rooted. These are all responsibilities. Established in verse 7 of Colossians chapter 2 means to confirm. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you to the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word there is blameless, not sinless. What does blameless mean? I heard it explained like this, and I think it's a great explanation. When we're in first grade, we know a little bit of mathematics. Maybe a little bit of addition, a little bit of subtraction. That's all we know. If someone asks us to divide 100 divided by 25, what is that? We get the answer wrong when we're in first grade, but we're blameless. We're not in sixth grade. And we're all growing at a different pace. Some of us are in kindergarten. Some of us are in first grade. Some of us are in sixth grade when it comes to spiritual things of the Lord. But ultimately, in the end, because of Jesus Christ, He holds us blameless. What a wonderful thing. He loves us. He truly loves us with a love that we cannot even comprehend. And what do we do with His love? Not enough. Verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We should be abounding with thanksgiving. We should be grateful for what God has done for us and what He'll continue to do for us. God gives us abundance, in abundance. He gives us salvation. We've seen where God gives us the atonement, the grace, peace that passes all understanding, the hope that only He can give, and the love that He only demonstrated on the cross. If you are here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, or you have a question, maybe I don't know for sure that heaven is my home, this morning might be the morning where you make a decision and say, you know what? I'm going to receive Him. I'm going to believe His word. I'm going to trust that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. He paid the payment that I could never pay. And if we know Christ as Savior this morning, we should receive or welcome the responsibility that comes with the eternal life that He's given us. Christmas time is about giving people salvation in Christ, God giving people salvation in Christ, people receiving salvation in Christ, believers receiving instruction from Christ, and giving glory and honor and praise to our only wise God, great King, Jesus Christ. We'll have the piano and the music, and we'll close in prayer here. Lord, we do thank You for this day. Please, God, help us be grateful. Help us come to You this morning, Lord, with a heart that's open for responsibility, what You'd have for us to do this year. Give us a burden for those around us that we love, like, and even dislike. Lord, help us have a burden for them and be kind to them as You've been kind to us, Lord. Lord, if there's someone here who is on the fence and not received You as Savior, I pray this morning they come forward. Say, you know what? I'd like to know a little more. That's all. Just a little more. That they might come to know You as Savior, Lord. We thank You and praise You in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.